What's Poppin' Part 2, people? Charlie's here from the Fox Network. I think that's what he wants me to call it. Jay from Plymouth. I'm Drew from Ferndale. And this is the Drew and sometimes Mike, not very often Mike podcast.
When are we going to get rid of that? Just drop it.
Well,
Drew and friends, Drew and the crew.
We'll see. No, you're just adding to all the mumbo jumbo on the Facebook page.
That's what it's all about.
It's kind of fun having a name that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It's like shtick. I don't know what's going on with Mike. I got to tell you, I thought he was coming back last week, but
okay,
we'll see.
It's shtick till the guy comes to you for a like piece of the pie.
Well, I'm not worried about that. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. We have to cross that bridge.
Like he wants half the dog shit in the backyard, something like that.
He hasn't been very greedy so far.
Where are you, Mike?
Yeah, come on, Mike. Let's
Mike!
Go.
Mike!
He really was having a shit time with his... I'm not getting into this.
No, good. Get into it. Fill me in.
It's not really my business. But he was going through these sleep apnea things, which usually is a day, and then they outfit you for equipment.
Like that?
Yeah. His is a little more serious, apparently, because he had to go
like
in...
This.
Yeah.
Clark, what's wrong?
I
can't sleep. I'll be back in 5 weeks.
Clark!
I guess he's getting some breath. He's getting a few breaths during the night now and having dreams. And he said he was feeling better. So I thought, but there's some other things going on with him.
Are you serious, Clark?
Come on. Well, like what?
I don't know. I can't tell you. Because when he was all psyched to come back, then he seemed to kind of back off last week, and I wasn't hearing from him, and I really haven't even tried to contact him in a couple days, so I'm kind of confused.
Ellen, are you still dating Clark?
But I really think he wants to come back, and I think he's kind of psyched.
I don't know how it works in radio, but I know how it works in relationships. And, you know, you're kind of being played, man. You got to let her know. You got to let her know, like, I'm your man or I'm not. I mean, not that maybe you're going to call me. I mean, don't make me wait around for the phone call. Listen, baby.
We're not lovers. We're not lovers.
Well, it's radio.
Hey, it's... It will work itself out. Don't worry about it.
I'm not. Well, I am.
No, don't. Do not worry about it. Actually, I do think he's coming back. I just think it's going to be... I'm not going to make more predictions.
Wait, no, do
Clark, it's the gift it. That keeps on giving the whole year.
Make a prediction. What? The fucking fan base wants to know what the bullshit
I think he'll be back. I'll say today is Friday. I think he'll be back a week from this coming Tuesday, I predict.
A week from next Tuesday?
Yes.
Two Tuesdays from now?
Yes.
For a one-time appearance? What are we doing?
No, I think he'll be back on Thursday following the Tuesday, too.
Oh, he's going to come back to what he promised.
Yeah. No, I don't think he's having second thoughts about doing two shows a week. I mean, I don't think he's going, God, if I just did one and a half shows a week or one show a week, it would all work better.
Let's call him up.
If you want to hear his voicemail.
Yeah, let's call him up. He'd be like Andy Dick. Like, dude, what's the problem? Listen, the fan base wants to know. So I think we should get this settled. The reporter, I mean, Jay, you got his number?
I do.
You mind, Drew?
I'm just telling you, he's not going to pick up the phone.
Okay.
But if he does, it'll be interesting.
Okay. Hi, it's Andy.
I'm so bummed about Andy Dick. But, I mean, I'm bummed for you because you're not going to be here Monday. If he actually picks up, do you think he's going to pick up the phone Monday, Jay?
Sorry, he's calling Mike here.
Okay.
He sounded like he was totally in. He just said, I can't right now. He really sounded like he wanted to. He didn't sound
Do you think he had any idea what show was calling?
Well, after I explained it to him, the same thing that you said.
Okay. Because I think he remembers us.
And he does. He
I
did
think
remember.
He's a slippery dick.
He did remember.
We'll see. We'll find out Monday.
Yeah, but he did remember, and he said he did want to talk. He's like, I just don't have anything to promote, and I can't talk right now, but I'll talk next week. He says, how about Monday? And this is Mr. Clark.
Hey, it's Mike. Leave a message. I'll get back with you as soon as I can. All right? Take care.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, Mikey. It's the podcast calling. and I just predicted that you would return a week from next Tuesday. Charlie, you care to make a prediction?
All I can say, Mike, is real strong voice on the voicemail. Real strong radio voice. Come on home. Everybody's wondering.
Yeah, come to Papa.
Come on.
He did sound, was he pushing his voice? Is that what you're saying?
No, he just sounded real radio.
Okay.
Picard, what's wrong?
That's all.
We know you're listening, man.
I thought you might pick up and give us some insights on 9/11, which is Sunday. But
he's probably out jogging.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. He's playing with the dogs at the park.
He's working out at the gym.
Running around at the park. Or he's doing some squat thrusts. I remember when he was talking about, okay, you can hang up on Mike. I remember when he was talking about doing bi-weekly workouts. And I was like, bi-weekly workouts? And he's like, yeah, every other week. Like, every other week? Because he wanted to build his biceps up? Because he was obsessed with, thinks biceps are the key to looking hot?
No, he meant bi-weekly, like he's doing bis weekly, you know, his biceps every week. I don't know, Mike's a weirdo.
He did not follow up on his bi-weekly workouts. He actually had a trainer for about 5 minutes.
Well, I only meant that you're a weirdo, Mike, because I don't know you.
Oh, Mike's got plenty of weirdness in him. Hey, give me your thoughts on this lovely lady. This chick, I don't know why this is a big story, but it's getting a little juice. She's got two kids, 5 and 3, and she's promoting the fact that she, her husband, and the two kids sleep in the same bed every night, and she's still breastfeeding the 3-year-old. And of course, she includes pictures. That's kind of a nice thing. She includes a picture of her breastfeeding the kid, which is, you know, could be worse.
They call me Juice, the Juice.
Just getting a little juice.
Let me explain it.
Is there anything dumber than sleeping with the 5-year-old and the 3-year-old? There's another picture for your viewing pleasure.
And, well,
he needs some milk.
No, fine. I mean, go ahead. Nice rack.
He needs some milk.
Good for you, kid. I don't understand the selfies. And then one kid's sucking on the right knob. And the older kid,
is, oh, is he on one of those?
Yeah, he's off her left shoulder crying.
He misses it.
Look,
I totally missed that.
Get him some milk.
Oh, yeah, yes, you're right.
I didn't get no booby, mommy.
He's jealous. Yeah, and the kid...
Or maybe he's smart. He's like, Mom, it's just fucked up. Why are we taking a picture of this?
Yeah, it could very well be. That's what he should be. Oh, and you know the other picture, that's of the boy when he was younger, isn't it?
Yeah, you know what they call him at school?
What?
The milkman.
Get him some milk!
Why not? Hey, when I mentioned that you were desperate to find out the price of dirt from the Duggan administration, I forgot to tell you. I wanted to show you this, and you probably heard about it. They're doing a lot of work on the Windsor side of the bridge, on the Gordie Howe Bridge.
No, they're not.
And they say they are.
Exactly.
Leaders of the Gordie Howe International Bridge Project took reporters on a tour of the Windsor end of the project. There's a dispel doubts about progress being made, blah, blah, blah.
Dispel doubts about progress being made.
Yes.
Let's get some reporters over here and push around some dirt. Look, we're doing stuff.
Well, that's what I wanted to mention, is that they are pushing around a lot of dirt. If nothing else, they have a lot of dirt. In fact, somewhere in here they mention how much dirt. It's a ton of dirt. So I thought, well, couldn't they tell you how much dirt costs?
Mm-hmm. I'm listening.
I mean, wouldn't it be kind of interesting to find out what they're paying for dirt, maybe?
Yes, I'm listening.
Instead of...
That's not where I thought this was going. We don't know that.
Yeah. Oh, no. They don't say what the dirt costs. But I just thought, hey, maybe these guys could...
Oh, I asked Dave Spencer, you know, at Fox 2, colleague of mine.
Uh-huh.
I go, hey, well, dude, okay, so how long ago did they purchase the dirt? The guy's a good reporter. He goes, a year ago. I'm like, so they called a bunch of reporters over to watch them pushing around year-old dirt? And just to dispel rumors, look at what we're doing. Pushing around year-old dirt. That bridge is dead. I'm working on that story.
Oh, really?
I think it's dead.
Oh, I'm excited to hear this because it's funny how insistent they are that it's not dead, and yet every indication is that the Maroons have, they've kind of, they've beaten the system.
No. They fought within the system.
No, they fought within the system, but they won.
They beat the man.
Yeah, they did. They beat the man.
Well, you know, remember this.
They bought the property that they needed to buy, and you know...
And the Canadians need that property that they bought to build the shit, and they're not going to give it to them.
But the Delray side is where it's even worse.
Well, Maroon owns it.
Right. Now, my understanding is that our side of the story is that by eminent domain, we're just going to take that and tough shit, Maddie.
See you. Well, let's go like this. First of all, not everybody knows that the Ambassador Bridge is actually owned by a private individual.
And that's the weirdest thing, by the way. How many bridges are owned by people like that?
There are a few.
Really?
There used to be more, because that was built in the 20s.
I never had any idea that people own bridges. I thought that was all, you know, United States bridge or state owns it.
Remember back in the day, like, if you want a private consortium wants to build a bridge, we'll let you do it.
Sure, because
you got a bridge.
Good for all people concerned. Yeah, you got a bridge and didn't cost you a penny.
So how's it different now?
Except that... you know, when people want to get from point A to point B, wherever that bridge leads, they have to charge you to pay for their bridge. And, you know, there's got to be some, I guess you would think there'd be some system to make sure that people aren't getting ripped off.
Well, I mean,
I'm going to pay you, but I shouldn't.
I mean, what's the cost to get over the bridge? $550?
I don't know. I've never driven over the bridge.
Really?
No, I've always gone in through the tunnel.
Oh, let's do that. Let's do.
Drive Maddie's bridge?
Yeah, let's go over the bridge, man.
I think it'd be cool. You know, it's such an amazing bridge. I feel kind of silly that I haven't because it's an incredible. It's fucking incredible.
Yeah, let's go over it.
Okay, I'm in.
Let's climb it.
This is going to sound like a dumb question. Matty Maroon didn't build that bridge, did he?
No.
He bought it from someone.
Warren Buffett. He bought a lot of it from Warren Buffett.
$5 to cross the bridge.
$5.
Yeah.
So, what are the Scotty Howe Bridge, what's the charge going to be?
I haven't even heard anything about that.
Right, 7? Because the Canadians are going to pay for everything up front.
Well, I hear the Canadians aren't quite as loaded as they felt they were when they were talking about paying for everything.
Well, guess what? The loonie took a dive. It's worth 75 cents. Oil's selling for $2 a gallon for gas. Canada's fucked. They're not going to pay for
this. That's my point.
So... Now they get a bunch of lemmings, a bunch of squirrels, a bunch of reporters. Look at us pushing the dirt around.
But, okay, if that's no longer the case, and you know, things do change, and it was a pretty bodacious offer to pay for everything, why not just say, you know what, things have changed, and you guys just didn't react quickly enough. We don't have the cash to do this anymore, and so, therefore, the bridge is dead.
Well, it's politics, because there's, you know, Trudeau came in, Harper... was the conservative, Trudeau's a liberal in Canada, you still have bureaucrats. There's still a bunch of stuff to negotiate, you know what I mean? Like, they smacked Maroon with that emergency, put some barricades up over the Labor Day weekend.
Yes.
Emergency! We need barricades! Over the national holiday! You know, what the fuck? Okay, the week before, Maroon announces with Duggan, hey, we just bought the last piece of land, we need to build a bridge. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now we're pushing dirt around. Something tells me it's high finance, big government. What's going on with the bridge? I indications to me are that the bridge is doomed.
And, you know, it's, I guess, you know, of course there are reasons not to just say, the bridge is dead and we don't have the dough. Because, for one thing, I imagine there's people on both sides of the bridge who are excited about a Gordie Howe bridge because, you know, Gordie Howe is revered.
A lot of money to be made. A lot of investments have been made. A lot of careers are at stake.
Sure.
Politics happen. You don't want Manny Maroon being able to build a second bridge, now do you? Because you hate him.
No. Hasn't he made enough money off people traveling from the United States to Canada?
Manny Maroon doesn't make his money on tolls. He makes his money on trucking. So if you own the bottleneck, you can give preferential treatment. So put it this way. Ontario is the industrial cradle of Canada, right? Detroit was once the industrial cradle of the United States, but it's the shortest route to the NAFTA highway, Highway 69. It goes like from Chicago down to Mexico, 69, the NAFTA highway. So,
69.
So you're not going through 69. Buffalo. You're not going through Buffalo. The only place to go is through Detroit. So we need a bridge. Who's going to build it? Who's going to make the money?
Well, you know, do we need a bridge?
Yes.
Do we really need a bridge?
Yes, we need a
bridge.
That's the busiest trade corridor in North America.
How often is it backed up?
I don't know about that, but almost $1 billion. Wait, is it? What is the number, man?
I mean, I would think you would probably want a second expanse based on the fact that that bridge was built in 1920, I think.
Yes.
And somebody, it might have been you guys, had some video from under the bridge showing you could literally see the sky from under the bridge.
You can see that with a lot of bridges.
And the railings looked very unsafe.
I'm not here to advocate for Maroon, but the railings are being replaced. We need a second bridge. Who's got the dough?
Canada's got plenty of dough. They'll pay for everything.
Let them.
So they said.
And give us some money.
Tom Hanks is playing Sully Sullenberg.
Speaking of Maddie Maroon,
yes.
Sully.
Have you seen any of the clips of this flick?
Yeah, with the sound down, and I'm like, the plane lands. I mean, look, he takes off, the plane lands. What's the fucking movie?
I know, I swear to God.
I'm not seeing it.
Norm MacDonald has a version of the movie. Can you see if you can find Norm MacDonald's version of the Sully Sullenberg story? It's really funny. But I swear to God, I'm doing the same thing. They're showing pictures of, or they're showing video of Tom Hanks with Sully and they're arm in arm, and it's like, you know, this wonderful story. First of all, the story to me was always, I don't know, a little bit overblown. It's great that he landed nicely in the water and all that, but
good job.
Yeah, he did a good job. But I thought they just, I mean, it's like we were going to have, you know, we were talking about holidays, national holidays before. It seemed like we were going to have a holiday for Sully. It was such a big deal. I mean, we're just blowing the guy nonstop. And now a movie about it, and I'm trying to figure out, how do you make a whole movie out of, what was it, a five-minute flight?
I have to see the childhood scenes to let you know. I'm sure something echoes back. You know, he was made for the moment.
Oh, here it is. Yeah, airport. You want to see this, Charlie? Check this out. It's Norm MacDonald's.
Let me hear it like everybody else.
Okay, we're back. My first guest.
Pause.
Is, of course, a comedian who...
Norm doesn't have a show.
Norm doesn't...
This isn't his show.
Oh, no, he's on Conan.
Oh, he's on Conan?
Conan, yeah.
Who's still the best, I think, host on television.
Yeah, Conan is... It's funny, he's just
fucking
hiding away.
Funny, man.
You know, people aren't watching him as much because of
he's
where
on
he
TBS.
Is. We're going to have to fast forward, I think, to get into Norm, because he shows it during...
What's Norm doing on anything?
Norm's doing a podcast.
And he's losing to you!
He is losing to me.
Yeah.
Last I saw, he was... last week, of course, we had Charlie on, so we were 47 or something, and Norm was about where we were landing, 91 or 89 or something, but he's off the charts now. But, you know, I listened to his podcast, and I got to tell you, it was weird hearing Norm interviewing his friends, like David Spade. David Spade was what I listened to mostly. It felt like Norm didn't know what to do. Or he was looking for some common place for them to be equals as opposed to I'm the host and you're the guest. It was just that part, I think, that it wasn't as funny. Because Norm I find to be hilarious as a guest.
He's a hilarious guy, yeah.
I love him. And we've had him on a bunch of times, and he is always A1. I just felt like as a host it was a little weird. But anyway.
Because you know what? What you do, dude, is not easy.
No, that's true. I agree. It's very difficult.
And by the way, stop sending me fucking emails, because I don't know what I'm doing. Don't send me texts. So I suck.
What are you talking about?
Well, you know the Twitter thing and the fucking Facebook. Huh? I'm hard to listen to. Drew, I love you. Get this asshole off. I can't listen to him.
Oh.
That hurts. It hurts me.
I have not been reading the Facebook comments.
Don't say that.
I haven't.
You're supposed to pretend.
Well, I go on there and I the videos and things like that and the responses, I generally will read the comments, but... as far as like the day-to-day chatter, because it's so much of the same, I just find myself going, okay, when's Mike Clark coming back?
So, you know, what Drew's doing is like, Facebook's very important to us, but I don't really fucking care.
No, I...
It's true, though. It's I'm sorry, I'm going to say it.
I didn't mean it that way.
Well, I try to, you know,
I haven't been reading... put it this way. If I saw somebody complaining... First of all, people complain about everything.
I know.
They do.
And like, you're the dick for the void in their life. You didn't perform to the level that they
expect. One of the shows made them mad because I said something about guns they didn't like. And so, you know, it's just like, you've entertained me 99% of the time I've ever listened to you. If this 1%, you really upset me, and fuck you, I'll never listen to you again. It's like, wow, one thing you didn't like and you're never going to listen again?
Yeah, it's like, come on, dude. You got to figure it out who I am. I'm just, I'm speaking as you or somebody like likes me. I'm just a regular guy just saying stuff, trying to come from a, you know, semi-educated, semi-anchored point of view. But, yeah, I already know I'm a dick.
Semi-anchored point of view. You know,
I'm already a dick. I know it. I don't need you to, like, do it. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what?
Tell me something nice.
If there's complaints, I find that generally it's anything new and different is going to take a while before anyone is fair about it. And so when I said that I don't read it, if I see something, if somebody says, I like everything but Charlie, I'm really not going to spend a lot of time on that because I know they're not going to give you a fair shot until you're sort of enmeshed in the whole, like, you know, having Mark on a couple times. I noticed we had some real nice comments about those shows. And I think it's because you fit in a little better because you're fitting in with two people instead of just me, or it just, you seem like more part of the team because there's now two people talking to you, liking you and participating with you. I know people are just, they want the same. It's like, you know, where's Mike? I love a gym, but where's Mike? Well, come on, we're the ones doing here. We're the ones who are here all the time. If Mike's not here, I'm sure there's a good reason for it.
Well, not to mention the volume of stuff that comes in. If you spent all day reading everything that came in through Facebook and Twitter and all the other, and the email and everything else, Drew, you'd never have time for show prep.
No, but I do like reading.
They make some great points.
I personally take responsibility for all the Twitter messages. I do answer all of those. Facebook, I'm spending more time on than I used to, which doesn't say a lot, but
There's a lot of traffic.
Yeah, there's a lot of activity. And there's a lot
of
read.
Activity.
Not anymore.
And not all the comments about people who are new or different, because ML's been on a few times. And by the way, he was really pleased about your comments on the last program you were on. You were commenting on his great story on the Supreme Court.
Supreme Court?
Yeah. He was really psyched about that. He really dug that.
What, on air? Or just to you, like,
it was a private conversation.
Well, what? I mean, yeah, what? He's glad somebody liked it?
No, just that he got a compliment from a colleague he holds in high esteem.
Yeah, but he knows what esteem I hold him in. He knows what I think of him.
Can you not accept the compliment? Just take it. It's great. That's cool.
The compliment was to him.
Right. But
so we don't need to turn the compliment to me.
But he did turn it that way.
Let me deflect it. The man works hard. The man has done a lot for this community and continues to do so.
Amen.
A compliment to the man. You know what I mean? Even if you don't like, because he goes through bullshit too.
He's doing
what he thinks is right. And if you don't like it, you turn it off.
Let's play this Norm Sully thing, and you can listen to it if you don't want to watch it. I'll try and narrate as best I can.
See this now. Unbelievably, this was shot before the incident that made him famous, but let's take a look.
May who famous?
Oh, Sully. Norm is the pilot. He looks like Sully. He's got the gray hair.
That's kind of funny.
He's on the runway.
On behalf of U.S. Airline, we know you have a lot of choices to make, and we're glad you chose us. Have fun in Kansas City, everybody.
Yeah.
It's not a good ending.
It's a terrible ending.
It's the worst possible ending. I keep saying reshoots, and they have no money for reshoots. They're like, I said a long shot of the Hudson.
Norm. No, that's not going to do it.
But Norm, try fucking writing something.
I know there's not enough time, but mostly we talked about, it was her love story.
What? A love story with who?
Him and his wife, Lori Sungelberger. What was her name? I wrote this bit 25 minutes ago.
That's what I'm saying.
If you want the clip, we're going to get it.
We should do the clip.
All right, take a look at this clip.
So why didn't you give me a seat? Why do I have to stand here for the whole flight?
I told you, it's cheaper. But save it up for the thing.
Now listen, you know why you're standing up here. I'm just kidding you. I love you. That's why. Hey, you wanna land this?
Yeah.
Pretty well lands itself.
Which reminds me, what's the emergency exit out of here? In case this place goes up in flames like Norm's career.
Straight up the stairs. Hopefully you don't fall on the way up.
What made you think of pulling that up? That was fucking awful.
I forgot. I swear to God, I think there's another clip. I don't know why. Maybe I'm crazy.
Oh, we're going to get a third one.
Forget it.
Okay, baby. Here's the thing. What do we got tonight? We have fish or chicken. Let me get the pork chops.
You lost me. You completely lost me.
I'm doing a Norm McDonald bit. It goes like this. The stewardess comes into the cockpit. Hey, Stacy, what's for dinner tonight? Well, we have chicken or fish. Let me get the pork chops. That's pretty much what it was.
Okay.
Well, hey, it was good as that.
I'm sorry.
I wrote it 3 seconds ago.
3 minutes of your life.
Is Tom Hanks going to pee in that movie, do you think?
A great question.
Where would he pee in that movie?
Maybe he just leaves the cockpit.
That's what I'm wondering.
To relieve himself during. No, it's too short a flight. He can't.
That's just it.
Do you know the bit about Tom Hanks pees in like every other movie he does?
Oh,
he does. I mean, it's true.
Yeah.
Which is really weird. But also, don't we have a lot of evidence that traveling for Tom Hanks is kind of a problematic thing? Mm-hmm. He ends up on the island. In what's the one with Wilson, the volleyball, which is the
Castaway.
Castaway. Yeah.
Is that, by the way, is that the dumbest fucking thing? Him having a relationship with a volleyball.
No, I liked the movie. It was great. Now, having said that, like starving is not acting, but it was an all right movie.
I thought the movie was okay. I just thought the volleyball thing. I don't know. It's kind of funny now because it's so stupid. Maybe it's so over the top that it actually works, but I just didn't quite.
Did you ever see Johnny Depp in Pimpernel?
No.
Exactly. If you want to bitch about a movie, do that one.
Johnny Depp is investigating the deaths of Tupac and Biggie. That's what he is dedicating himself to now. Apparently.
Johnny called me because I was there when they rolled a corpse out of the hospital. I was there. They can't get a new?
Is that a fact?
Yeah,
a
fact.
But what does that tell you about how they died? Did you observe the
fact that he died? Except, of course, when I went over to ask him to unzip the bag so I could be convinced that they threatened to beat my ass. So there you go.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Just trying to get in your movie, Johnny.
I didn't even think about that. If there was a movie at the end of the trail there. I know Johnny, I don't know what's going on with Johnny. But he did write the checks to, actually, he didn't even write the checks to Amanda, what's his ex-wife's name? Amanda Heard? Yeah. I understand he wrote the checks directly to the charities that she wanted. And that whole thing was so, it's like, wait.
Nicely played.
Divorcing him, so, yeah, I guess. Those are her favorite charities.
Because he can write that off.
Yeah, he gets the tax cut.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Nicely done, Johnny. Yep. Johnny, no dummy.
How is she going to argue it? I wanted to go to charity. Okay, I'll save you the trouble. Write it right to the charity.
Yeah, and now write-off. When he gets his tax write-off, she's going to be all pissed going, wait a second!
And they're back in court and we got more stuff to talk about.
Sure. Hey, did you hear about this documentary about the auto bailout? Is that a yes or no? I didn't hear anything.
Crickets? No.
You did not? Okay.
Tell me.
Oh,
just
boring. Boring.
No, not
necessarily. It's called Live Another Day. I don't think it's as boring as it sounds.
I'm interested. I'm a Detroiter.
I mean, it's a true attempt to validate or invalidate. I mean, of course, here, of course, it's a good thing. And I don't know. I really honestly don't know why you would think otherwise anywhere else. Because although if we'd gone through bankruptcies like the city did, who's to say that that wouldn't have worked out well? I mean, they would have come through it, and we'd be building cars. It wasn't like we were going to never build another car.
I'm no Homer, man. I'm no Homer, right? I respect GM and the muscles it put on my bone. Having said that,
Yeah, I'm not trying to be homer either.
You owe us $12 billion.
Thank you. That's the only point I wanted to make. For all those jobs, and there were thousands of jobs, it cost, they said $10 billion.
Okay.
That's a lot of money for a few thousand jobs.
And GM's got $30 billion in the bank. You know, auto company needs to have cash on hand for the downturn. Write the check.
El Mulally taught us that.
Write the check.
Why aren't they writing the check, by the way?
I don't know. But you know what? How about $1 billion for Detroit, and that'll fix everything.
$1 billion?
One bill.
Would that fix everything?
A bilski.
Hey, did you see the tiny houses?
Are you going to buy one? Let's go in on one.
Tess loves tiny houses.
Well, let's go get one.
Just buy one to party in on the weekends?
Yeah, 900 square feet.
We have to
be. Let's podcast
it. Well, I don't have any income. I'm low income. I guess technically I could qualify.
I get to see the tiny house with no porch. A tiny shovel.
They're new. They're new houses.
The tiny porch, the tiny shovel, and the tiny dog doo-doos.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
No, but seriously, they're nice. They look nice.
Yeah, they do.
Will it work, though? I mean, are these people going to keep up the houses? Is the program going to work?
It doesn't. You as a landlord, do you really think that the construction is solid where they're going to last 20 years? Are they stopgap?
Well, that's a good question. I can't answer that. I always hope when there's a program like this that everybody's heart is in it. And I assume when someone puts up this much effort and this much money, because we're talking about, I think, 25 homes in this one area. But this is a huge experiment. I mean, there's a lot of other states, and I think even some foreign countries have come in to look at this to say, you know, what kind of a solution is this, or what kind of an answer is this to people who cannot dream of home ownership yet? You know, here's a chance to live in a very, I mean, we're talking about 250 to 400 square feet homes, and their rent is a dollar a square foot, basically. And they pay rent for, I think they said 7 years, and at that point they will give them the deed. It is their home.
Is this shit plugged into the sewage system?
Yes.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So you got
you're suggesting there's a trick?
No, but you got a tool. 250 square foot home. You know what the water bills are in Detroit? More than your house.
What are the water bills in Detroit? What, $100 a month? Is it something like that for a typical? I mean, just a normal home.
They do monthly, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Mine's quarterly. Fuck, I don't know, man. It keeps changing now.
It is high. I would agree, but of course, you know, you're talking about a water department that's got $20 million in arrears or in, you know, credit.
We live in the
Debt.
We live in the Great Lakes state. Why is our water so high? Graft?
I don't know. That really is effed up.
Really is. And every time a water main breaks and they tell us nobody's going to pay for it, no, that's bullshit. Because you have to treat the water. The cost has to go to somebody. Why does mine go up?
I don't know, but I'm amazed that the water main breaks and what
another one today.
What it does, Jesus.
How easy is it going to get be if you have to do home repair, though, in a tiny house? Is it almost like worth it just to replace the whole house?
They're tiny,
something goes
tiny
wrong
repairs,
it, you know?
Jay.
You just unplug the house and plug it back in.
Okay.
I mean, this is a nice-looking house. It's not a bad-looking house.
Describe it.
It's got a...
it's like a Tudor.
Yeah, it's a Tudor. It's got the fireplace in front, the stone fireplace, which, you know, to me, that looks a little extravagant for a tiny house. It's got a big picture window in front. And I guess the living room, well, the kitchen and the living room.
Can I go to the bathroom?
Sure, go ahead.
Alone?
Yeah, Jay, can you escort him up the stairs?
I'll get him to the door.
You just hit my head on the threshold.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's a tiny house. We'll get some padding.
It's a tiny house.
We'll get some padding up there for you. Charlie is being escorted up the stairs as we speak. And, wow, I just noticed something. The tiny house. The tiny house has the same backsplash that I have in my kitchen. It's identical. Jay, look at this.
It is. That's dead nuts on. That's the exact.
Absolutely dead nuts. It is totally dead nuts.
It is. It's exact
same. Hilarious.
Although your cabinets are cooler, I must say.
Yeah, perhaps. The expended on the cabinets here. But yeah, the living room, the dining room, and the kitchen are all sort of caught up in or bound up in one room, one living area. And then there's a hallway, a small hallway, there's a very small bedroom. Mm-hmm. You know, it would fit probably one single bed and, you know, maybe a table, and it's got a closet. And then there's a spacious, for the size of the house, there's a spacious master bedroom with its own bathroom. I think it's a half bath, you know, for the main room, and then there's a full bath for the master bedroom.
See, so, now, I'm not knocking the tiny house concept at all, but I'm just trying to think of different things, like if you have company come over, if you have kids, and you, or some people, they get a house, they want to expand on the house. I mean, are you really limiting
yourself?
Oh, you mean
like they want to put an addition on?
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen. Well, I mean, right, I don't think they're too worried about that.
I don't know, because remember Levittown and Long Island, the post-war first kind of ticky-tax subdivision? Revisited 50 years later, and people have put additions on it and painted them different colors. One never knows.
So that program worked?
Yeah, it became the model for American post-war development. Levittown, Long Island.
I don't, you know...
Oh, by the way, is that your Rogaine up there in the bathroom?
It's Rogaine. It's not the traditional Rogaine. It's the Rogaine. It's technically Rogaine, yes.
You mind if I borrow it before I go and just put on the crown here?
Sure, yeah. You're supposed to do it after a shower, though.
Oh.
So if you want to take a shower, you can do that, too.
I noticed the soap was gone, so what do I do?
Jay didn't do a very good job of escorting Charlie. He's gotten into all kinds of new things now.
It's one of these, you know, you got to be here to help with the conversation, watch Charlie, get Andy Dick on the phone.
For $15 a show.
What a job.
It's a great job.
Love it.
Doing a good job, Jay.
You too, Charlie.
Thanks, man.
Anyway, you want to make a prediction on the tiny houses? Will they keep the neighborhood up? Will the people live up to their end of the bargain?
I say thumbs up.
Okay.
Yep.
I say so too, because they're not just throwing these people in the houses and saying, good luck. They have meetings with social workers, you know, who are financially oriented in terms of making sure these people are, you know, putting enough money away to make their payments. And
I mean, they look like real houses. They're not like, you know, what Andy Dick lives in.
No, they don't look like the tiny houses that you see built on DIY and that stuff. No, they look like real houses.
Well, look
right
at this, though. Look, the thing, I was in the bathroom, so forgive me if I'm wrong, but look at the main picture. Look at the tour. It's all like middle-aged white ladies.
Well, those are people with the program. You know, those aren't people moving into the tiny houses, I don't think.
Mm. Mm.
Notice they have the Ford shirts on. Ford's the biggest sponsor. Mm. Ford spent $400,000.
Mm-hmm.
Do you foresee any type of, like, blight issue, boarded up tiny houses, people abandoned?
Well, wouldn't that suck? Wouldn't that just be the biggest bummer if you got, like, eight people in there who are responsible as hell and they're taking care of their place and their garden's beautiful, and then you got 17 houses that are, you know, boarded up, and they moved out, and crackheads are...
I was going to say crack house, yeah. They don't mow the lawn.
That's squatters and all that.
Little tiny squatters.
No, I hope they have success. Because, I mean, isn't home ownership, isn't that everything, really?
To me, it is.
To someone like that, I would think, absolutely, because they just don't... They never thought that could happen.
Some freedom.
And I don't, you know, I love that somebody's trying to make this a possibility for low-income people. Some of the plans they have, you know, some of these, I'm sure you've seen, because you've studied these, you know, like Illichville, the 45-block project that goes with the hockey arena, which is costing a lot of tax dollars. Of course, I know you're not happy about that. But some of these high-rises and condo buildings they're talking about are having, you know, people on the top in $500,000 condos, and then low income condos somewhere else in there. A certain percentage of them are supposed to be low income. People who live, they make 80% of the poverty line. You have to provide a certain amount of housing for people to make 80% of the poverty line. How do you mix those two people in the same building? How does that work? Will that work?
You put them together. They do it in New York.
Does it work?
Do you hear any problems in New York?
Yeah. I don't know about that. I mean, there are a lot of problems in New York.
But they try to mix.
Anthony Weiner lives in New York.
Oh, fucking Anthony Weiner.
I know. Isn't he great?
Wow. Yeah, just get me right off the...
What a piece of work.
Speaking of tiny houses.
That's okay. Let's move on to Anthony Weiner.
Oh, my Lord. What a Weiner.
And this new chick was actually hot. That Sydney Leathers was She was a big, she was kind of a hog.
But the thing, but he doesn't get to bang any of them.
No, I know. He never touched any of the chicks. And you know, when
if you're going to go down, go down.
Right. When I was defending him last week, I felt like...
Defending? Wait, you were.
Just the fact that he never had any sex with anyone besides his wife.
I know,
that
but
we know of.
What a douche.
No, I know. I it's totally
like that?
Douchey. Yeah, you need... If you want to pound off four times a day, you have to have some strange chick on the other end, you know, who you're... I don't know. I thought that the linchpin of that whole deal, too, was the fact that his kid was caught in the shot.
Yeah. I don't want to see your wiener!
Do you think this is a little fucked up that Child Protective Services was talking about looking into that? Is that really? Does that seem right?
Well, they were only talking about looking into it. It's bureaucracy. Yeah. The press called, well, we're thinking about looking into that. Go away.
Okay, so it's probably just bullshit.
Yeah, go away.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, go away, New York Post.
Right. And he's got
you
these beautiful.
That? Yeah, he put the little wiener in the shot.
Yeah, the little kid was in the shot. It's stupid. I mean, that was... And the next day was when she announced she was divorcing him. The day after that came out. And not that she wouldn't necessarily done the same thing if the kid weren't in the shot, but it was like that was the thing everyone focused on.
And you know what? The only way he's going to be able to reach out to his wife is make an appointment with the Clinton Foundation.
Oh, the Clinton Foundation. Did you hear Hillary trying to sort of... Oh, I don't know, open up to the world today. She said that sometimes she's perceived as cold and unemotional, and that's because she learned to control her emotions when she was competing with men in law school.
She went to Vassar, right?
For law school? I thought I was to think of her as a Yale chick for some reason. Did she go to Yale Law School maybe after that?
She was.
I think you're right, though. I think she went to a woman's school, women's school.
She was very famous for her commencement address.
Oh, yeah. She's like the queen of Vassar. I think you're right about that.
So, you know, come on. Yale. Like, yeah, don't.
Yale Law School.
Yeah, 73.
I ain't got to tell her what.
Wellesley. She went to Wellesley.
Wellesley.
God, that's bizarre. My high school girlfriend went to Wellesley. I can't believe that.
She got a JD from
Wellesley. That's kind of a isn't that a private school?
It's a
hoity-toity
liberal arts college. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. My girlfriend in high school was pretty loaded, and interesting.
Say what you want, Hillary.
That is
whatever.
Not the place I would have expected Hillary Clinton to go to undergrad. That is weird. But yeah. Anyway,
as a daughter of a Republican father.
Yeah, a cold Republican father. And her mother, most, you know, that's when Bill Clinton gave that speech, said, "One of the things I love about Hillary most is that she introduced me to her mother.
That girl.
Betty Rodham." Whatever, yeah, that.
When her placenta broke. I knew right then that her placenta broke.
First time I saw Hillary. The first time you saw Hillary, like, that would be that exciting. I mean, I can't, why, how did he even pick her? How did he even pick her?
She wasn't.
She wanted a bone.
I don't send the mail, but she was a good looking chick, kind of.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I don't think she's horrible then.
I think she's horrible, but, you know, the fact that he was being led around by
his
dad.
He was a doughboy. He was a doughboy.
He's kind of a nerd, I guess.
He married over his head.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. Hey, she did okay.
Let's explore.
Married a fucking president, my God.
He sure did.
But, you know, the amazing thing is that a kid like that, as hokey as it sounds, because they always focused on this when they did those syrupy videos, you know, at the Democratic convention, that this poor kid...
From Hope.
And, you know, this mother who... his mother in her crazy makeup. And, I mean, she was not... I would not have predicted that woman would birth a president, put it that way. very low income, multiple husbands, really a pretty white trash household. And yet when he met Kennedy, I mean, he's in a fucking picture with John Kennedy. And he said he wanted to be president. And the chance that kid would ever be able to raise enough money to even consider being president, I mean, let alone just what it takes to be president. You know, he's governor twice and all that stuff.
See? I wanted Hillary Clinton for president.
If that isn't a nice piece of Americana, I mean, until the, you know, Lewinsky comes in and all that garbage, until some of the other shit comes
and
along.
Put the hit out on her. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God. Oh, you mean to trash her?
Yeah. So much for feminism.
I never told anyone to lie. That's the part of that little, nobody really focuses on, I never told anyone to lie. But he let those guys go out there every night on those talk shows and call her a stalker.
They. Co-presidency. Huh? They.
Yes, they.
Yeah,
they.
Come on, man.
Yeah, and she started out of Matt Lauer, the vast right-wing conspiracy. Like, she didn't know. And this whole idea now that she's going to explain her cold, unemotional appearance after she's been in the public eye for almost 30 years and people have, you know, come to the conclusion that she's not to be trusted, she's not to be liked. I mean, you can't turn around 30 years of a really well-molded opinion with one little speech. In fact, if she does the same speech every day until the election, I really doubt she's going to change that at all. I mean, this is really a stunning election to think how unpopular these two people are. Isn't it incredible?
I got no hope.
I don't either.
You know, I really don't.
They let off GMA by saying something to the effect that both candidates pointed out how the other does not have the temperament to be president. And I felt like, well, I think they're both right. I agree. Neither one of them.
But GMA, you have no temperament to be an arbiter for what we think out here.
Well, they were just repeating what they said. I mean, on that occasion.
But it's all phony. All of them. Everything.
Yeah.
Garbage.
Matt Lauer's taking a lot of shit.
Good.
Yeah.
You should.
By the way, and this is kind of interesting, Hillary's now claiming that the media's been too harsh on her.
They haven't done anything.
They've done nothing to her.
They were winding her up during sort of the primaries or the preamble to the primaries. And the New York Times backed off. They were slaughtering her, and now they don't. So, no, she's getting a pass. Why don't you step out and give a press conference, right?
Yeah, hasn't done one in a year. Well, now they're claiming the one in the tarmac the other day was a press conference.
I mean, you know what? Come on now. Okay, the bozos following you around, following the script of right. What presidential politics are, let us at them. We didn't get Trump in Detroit. Let us at them. Get the mainstream media, get the lofty media out of there. Get the lofty politicals out of there and put them in the lion's den, which is us living out of here trying to make it. Right? Every time you do a town hall, everybody's got to pass muster, pass a background check. Everybody's handpicked. Fuck this.
Well, I thought it was kind of funny that they made a stink over the fact that Trump had received questions in advance from Wayne T. Jackson, the Reverend. As if she's never done that. She's done that on multiple interviews.
Well, let's drop back. Yeah, no, fuck you, Trump.
Come on.
Fuck you, Trump.
Well, fuck you, Trump, too.
Come on, man. You're from New York, right? You're from New York. You can handle some questions. You don't need any prep.
Well, I thought that was his strong point, was that he doesn't, well, now that they've decided, well, you know, maybe the spontaneous, the politically incorrect Donald Trump isn't always the best thing.
So what do we do?
I think they were afraid of a major gaffe.
So sorry about that. Where's the interview?
Good question. We didn't talk about this on the podcast, did we? Did we talk about
no.
this?
No.
Today it was revealed. Well, it wasn't revealed. Yesterday when
somebody
the show
finally
was,
asked.
When the show was supposed to air yesterday and everybody got in front of their TVs, it didn't air. Where was it? And so, yeah, somebody asked today and they said, well, we never guaranteed it was going to be Thursday at whatever time it was supposed to be, 9 o'clock, I think. They said, I think it's going to be on next Wednesday.
Well, we're having trouble editing it? What? What's stupid?
I don't know. I mean, why would you wait a week to air it anyway?
Ladies and gentlemen.
What was the fight? What was
Drew? We're just being manipulated again. Air the fucker live.
Yeah. Charlie, why would they wait 5 days to start with? To whose advantage was that?
I got no. Man, what about I know?
Understand it.
I invited the guy. And call Fox News and said, reach out to him. Let me show him around Detroit. We'll go get a haircut. Come on, what is this? I'm not buying. I'm out.
Nobody
I'm not buying.
Understands it.
I'm not buying. Gary Johnson.
Oh, Gary Johnson.
I'm taking a look at this guy.
You see, Gary Johnson made the news today?
He made it yesterday, too. What did he do it for today?
Well, he was asked, what about Aleppo?
That was yesterday, yeah.
Oh, okay.
What about Aleppo? He didn't know.
No, but, you know, I appreciate his honesty. I think a lot of people would have gone, well, Aleppo, I think some work needs to be done there.
Yeah. But you mean the brain fart? You mean like where the rebels in Syria are fighting the government?
Well, how many people, when he was asked, was that on public television that asked him the question? I didn't recognize the anchor who was talking to him.
I read it off of Twitter. I talked to Gary's guys yesterday.
When he said, what is Aleppo, what percentage of people do you think went, what the fuck is Aleppo? Because I really thought...
But we expect more of the commander-in-chief. Okay, having said that, George Bush was a dilettante. Barack Obama was a dilettante.
Explain what a dilettante is, because a lot of people are going, yeah, you thought Aleppo was weird. What's a dilettante?
Dilettante is an amateur. Okay?
Can you answer my question? How many people do you think know what Aleppo is?
Well, that doesn't matter what...
No, I know it doesn't matter, but really, do you think a lot of people...
A tenth.
A tenth?
Of America knows what Aleppo is.
Really?
Is that too much?
I thought so.
Okay, 1 out of 10, 1 out of 20. But you expect your commander-in-chief to know a little something, right?
Oh, of course.
Okay, but what did Bill Clinton know? You're a rube out of Arkansas. You don't know what Aleppo is. You're a rube out of Chicago. You don't know what Aleppo is. You're a rube out of Arlington, Texas. You don't know what Aleppo is. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You don't have to know the capital of Bangladesh to be a leader.
If you had a chance to interview Gary Johnson, though, would you ask him about Aleppo?
I might, but, you know, I mean, not to be trapping him.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe it was a long interview and it was, you know, one of the many questions.
Well, it's all about gotcha now.
Oh, yeah. It looked, you know what? It looked like gotcha. It did, because
sure. He
said, what is Aleppo? And he had this look on his face like, I don't know what the fuck is Aleppo. And when he said, I don't know, the interviewer, it was Mike Barnicle from MSNBC. Mike Barnicle said, are you kidding? Like, which I thought was his
gotcha! You mean that joint in Syria where, you know, I'm reading where the rebels lie and the Turks have come in? Because obviously I'm not involved in the Joint Chiefs of Staff's discussions here.
Mm-hmm.
I only know what I'm reading. But you got to judge me on my keel, my ability to learn things, my record as the governor of New Mexico. Yeah, you know, shit, dude. Remember George Bush and the scanner? What's that? and they rip him, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, here's how you handle it.
That was so fucking funny.
Because if you talk to, like, modern women, they go, like, yeah, sure. Here's what George Bush should have said. Sorry, I've been busy running the CIA. I haven't been to the fucking milk store for a couple years.
I mean, as silly as it was, I mean, does it really matter?
To be honest, I'm not sure if my wife's been to the milk store in a couple of years. You know, we're doing stuff.
He's been a high-level government guy
We're doing stuff. I know what Aleppo is. Okay, I got to know the milk. I got to know Aleppo. I got to know, you know, what the Federal Reserve's doing with the fucking interest rate. Come on. Who are you? What's your keel? What's your vision? Do you understand us? Are you a leader or are you a representative? That'd be my question. Do you look at yourself as a leader or a representative?
I would like to see. That's an interesting question.
Thank you.
Those are two very different things.
Yes, they are. Which do you prefer? Leader or a representative?
Jay just brought up the grocery scanner moment. I want to see this again. Okay.
That famous campaign stop where Bush Sr. was discovering, if you will, the wonders of the supermarket scanner. I've never seen
Chris.
One before.
Have you, Chris? The liquor store doesn't count, dude. Play it. What does George do?
He just showed it. And he's running it over the scanner and kind of looking at the bottom like, huh, what happened? I mean, it really makes him look stupid.
What's Chris Matthews' wise-ass comment after that? If you could play it on just a bit.
That's as far as it goes.
Chris Matthews, and what's the rim shot, Chris? Can you imagine that?
Is he known to tip a few? Is that what you were suggesting?
He worked for Tip O'Neill.
Okay, that doesn't tell us exactly, but I think
Tip
it does.
Tip O'Neill, like to imbibe.
The Trump, I hope this is part of this show, whenever this interview airs, and I don't know, I wasn't here, I was in St. Louis.
Which interview?
Went down. Trump and Wayne T. Jackson.
Oh, I thought you meant the podcast. Sorry. I was like, oh, I'm getting dicked again.
No, okay. no podcast interviews you don't know about. At least not right then, not right now on my mind. But Trump was talking to the lady who lives in the house that, what's the guy, my luggage?
Ben Carson.
Ben Carson's former home in Detroit. And she was describing it, and I never saw this. You know, I don't know if cameras were not rolling or if I just missed it or what, because I was out of town. But Trump apparently said, oh, you got a wonderful home, and I'm sure it's worth a lot of money. Which is like, wait a second. You don't know better than to say to someone who lives in a home in Detroit that it's not worth a lot of, that it's worth, or to say that it's worth a lot of money? I mean, that just sounds so crazy. She didn't live in Palmer Woods.
The shit that just tumbles out of his head.
I know. It's really kind of funny, isn't it? I mean, when he doesn't know what to say, he doesn't know what to say.
You can go ahead and write me emails on this. Seriously, what the fuck, dude? Do you or does she have any idea, besides saying it, really understand what's going on out here? And we're not out here, like, way out. Like,
who are you talking about, she?
Hillary.
Hillary, okay. Still
like, do you know what's going on with us?
You know, after watching Bush and that scanner thing, and you know, and what you said is true. He's running the CIA. Why should he ever be at a grocery store? He shouldn't be. He's too busy.
Okay.
He's got bigger fish to fry.
Okay, Don, I mean, you're busy doing TV shows and Hillary. You're doing speeches. I would think maybe you might want to go into a grocery store since you got some time, since you're not running the State Department anymore, or you're not doing The Apprentice anymore. Why don't you go just get busy?
Well, isn't that part of why it's hard to represent people when you don't live the way they live? I mean,
therefore, you're not a representative. You say, I'm going to lead, and we don't like where you're leading us.
Well, and do you really know? Oh, there it is. Okay. And do you know how to lead us? I mean, do you know what we're worried about? I mean, those guys
do not lead.
I can't stand the fact that these guys in the Senate, they don't drive to work.
No, they got cars.
Yeah, so, you know, just the fact that you don't battle rush hour traffic alone tells me you're missing a big part of what's, you know, a bitchin' part of everybody's day. But let's listen to Trump with the new owner of Ben Carson's childhood home.
What's your name, Mama?
I'm a Rosa's walk around Detroit.
Yeah, he did his homework here. You should get straight A's. How much are you going to pay?
He did get straight A's.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes,
so it's been a good house.
The house looks beautiful. Well, thank you. I just had somebody at least cut the grass.
Is Mrs. Robinson still next door?
She moved, and Mr. Robinson died.
I know he died.
Yeah, she moved. We still
that's have really a few of our original. So you guys
are dressed
alike.
Yeah, say that again.
The red, the pink striped tie.
Yeah.
Is he just making conversation?
You guys, what is that?
Dude, I could have done you so much better.
Ready to go. It's up for sale.
Our Rosa's got some new tubes, by the way. I suppose it shouldn't have been the first thing I noticed, but.
Say, serious issue, shallow thought.
I'm not going to go into that because remember we did one of the Kardashians the other week?
Yes.
You were so right. I was so wrong. I'm not doing the tube slide anymore.
Oh, yeah. Don't trust me on this one. She has new tubes. I guarantee it. Anyway, you know what that reminded me of? I don't know why this even came to me, but do you remember when the Queen of England came and she went to that black lady's house in Washington, D.C.? And she hugged her. She hugged the Queen. And the picture on the front page of, I think the New York Post, I think it was the front page of a lot of papers, was, it was like, the hug. And this black woman's got her arms around the Queen. The Queen's face is like, ah! You know, like she's being squeezed to death. And the point was, you know, you don't touch the Queen. You don't hug the Queen. But
well, guess what? That's why we kicked you the fuck on out of here. You better kiss my baby, bitch.
We've got bigger people than the Queen. Fuck the Queen.
Fuck
come
the
on.
Queen.
If, no offense. If Warren Buffett stopped by, she might give him a hug, and he'd probably be cool with it. Warren Buffett's got more money than the fucking Queen. Bitch. I mean, she really had this pained look on her face, like, oh!
Oh!
This black woman is hugging me. She's touching me. Oh!
This Nigerian. Oh.
Lordy, indeed. Lord. They showed Donald Trump's home today on Inside Edition, his childhood home.
Mm-hmm.
How luxurious do you think Trump's childhood home would have been?
Mm-hmm. I would have said it was Jamaica Estates, maybe something like that.
It was in Queens.
Yeah, Jamaica Estates, maybe nice. Nothing too ostentatious. Close to the neighbor's
home. You're right.
Yeah.
No, it was a neighborhood with, you know, a lot of regular homes, 2,200 square feet. It was nice. Of course, you know, it's with the new people living there with their furniture and all that stuff. But the funny thing about it, I thought, was, well, first of all, you couldn't help but notice how regular his childhood home was, although they moved to the house behind their house when Trump was 4 years old. And that was a nicer house. That was more, it wasn't a mansion. It was a nicer home, though. But the owners had discovered when they redid the wood floors that there's something you lift up, I guess, in the front hallway, some piece of wood that comes up, and underneath is a stamp, or it's an imprint, and it's of Trump's father's name. And so the point was kind of, oh, well, I guess Trump's dad did that in every house he built. He stamped his name in some
I like it.
Specific place.
Frank Lloyd Wright, man.
Well, it's kind of interesting that Trump is certainly...
Well, you know, Trump's dad thought a lot about what he was doing. You know, I mean, it's hard to, like, show up in Detroit. The dad came from not much.
Nothing, no.
And, you know, man, I'm stamping my shit. I built it. I worked as a carpenter in this area when I was out of high
carpenter?
School.
Carpenter?
Yep.
You are a carpenter? Seriously?
Yeah, there's a... 275 near maybe between 7 and 8 Mile on the west side. There's a church there. And every time I drive by it, I was ever in the car with me. I'm like, I built that motherfucker.
Built a church by yourself?
No, but you know, the boss left and left me the plans. Is it like a 19-year-old? Said, so you're in charge of the crew. Make it so. I got the arches built, got the roof put on it.
When did you become a carpenter? I mean, I know a lot of things about
you. Yourself through college, man. You're going to lay tile. You're going to build churches. You're going to do...
You do this stuff in your spare time?
No, this is like summer in college. You got to fucking make some money and get through college.
Why aren't you fixing my house up?
Well, we're going to start by pointing things out. Now I'm noticing the roof in the basement here, and it's part of the
Lord. Oh, Christ. This is the best this roof is ever going to look, and the best it's ever looked.
Notice I have my head turned to you. You see that little crown there? Let's get a little bit thin.
Not really.
Sure, I can't. Oh, good. I'm still going to use the Rogaine.
I can't see the. I can't see any skin. But I remember when you were out in the sun and you said you were lamenting on the crown of your head, and I remembered I was at a radio event when I was about 26 or something, and I remember feeling my head was burnt at the end of the day. I'm like, how is my head burnt? It's like, oh, there's not much hair there anymore. What a disappointing discovery that was.
Oh, speaking of which, on Facebook, did you see that scoop at first I made?
No.
Detroit Fire Department versus Detroit Police Department for the campus and made soup a scoop? Kitchen. Like, splits, cross body.
How far did the ball bounce in front of you?
It was precarious. I was surprised.
It was precarious.
I came up with it.
So it was like 4 or 5 feet in front of you, where you don't know exactly.
Maybe three.
Oh, three, okay.
You know, it's like that in-between deal.
There's 27 places you could put your glove, and if you put it in the right place, you'll catch it.
Plus, the field was wet, so you're not sure what the ball's going to do.
It might skip.
And I was like, oh, damn, I got it. Yeah, shit, look at that. Sweet. I don't look like a total douche.
And where'd the picture show up?
I'm gonna pull it up right here for you, man. I put
let's
on
get
Facebook.
It on our Facebook page. Hey, are you going to the Michigan game tomorrow?
No, bro.
Do you want to go?
Who are they playing?
Tailgate party. Central Michigan.
Central Florida.
Not a big Central Florida. Central Florida. Duh. A couple extra tickets.
How many you got?
I got two. If you need a pair.
Hey, baby, I know you're at the Tiger game, but thanks for letting me go. Are you going?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. Are you going to pay attention to me, or is this going to be like this place? Like, you know, my afterthought.
Jay, are you embarrassed for him?
I don't mind to expose myself here, man.
Oh, my God. Look at that split, man. Charlie's doing the fucking splits at first base.
50 years old, baby. And that was a cross scoop.
That's pretty sweet, man.
Thank you, man.
I just knocked it off your screen, but
okay, that's all right.
That was a nice scoop. Wow. I didn't know you played first base.
I'm a lefty. If you're a lefty, you got to play.
That's right. Yeah, I was a lefty, too, so I am a lefty.
You got to play the outfield.
Yep.
And you got to play first.
And what did I want to play? Third base. All my youth, I fought
it. And in the game, they went like this. Play third. I'm like, I'm a lefty. They're like, it doesn't matter anymore. I'm like, yeah, I didn't grow up playing it.
I know. I always offer to play third or short because I played third base as long as I could until discrimination.
Discrimination.
Took me off third base.
Those fucking scissors don't work.
What is it about? Okay,
you know those lefty scissors?
Yes.
They don't work.
No, they don't. Try writing in a notebook, by the way. Left-handed. That's bullshit.
I flip them over and go backwards.
Oh, that's smart.
Thank you.
Why did I do that? That's a rebellious but smart thing to do.
Well, I don't want to smear the ink.
Yes.
Now, why don't let these guys play third?
I feel because
when you go down the line, and it's your glove hand.
Yeah,
right?
But you turn around and make the throw just like a right-handed first baseman would if he ever had to throw the ball to third base.
Yes.
The same advantage that exists for lefties at first base exists for righties at third base.
Because since most people bat right-handed, your odds are a little bit less that they're going to go to first base with the play at third. But having said that, there's a lot of plays at third, and just that pivot that you got to make as a lefty, well, you're out.
But hold on now.
You're safe.
If it's an advantage for a right-handed person to play shortstop, then why is it an advantage for a right-handed person to play second base? There are different places on the... One of the two has to be the advantage for a lefty.
Well, because at second base, if it's...
It's the discrimination that no one wants to talk about!
No, the discrimination is first base is in third base. The diamond should be reverse. Because that's how nature goes, in a clockwise fashion.
Well, then lefties could play third base in the reverse diamond, too. And tell me,
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
The first base should be third base because the sun goes in a clockwise circle. It's Satan's game.
I'm just going to say that I understand what you're saying, even though I don't. If Dave Kingman could play third base as a right-handed person, then Wes fucking Parker could play third base as a left-handed person. Kingman couldn't field to save his life. Wes Parker was a gold glover.
No, because look.
He would be a better third baseman than Dave Kingman any day of the week.
You understood what I said. If third base was actually first base, then it would be a lefty's game. But it's not a lefty's game.
Right.
It's a righty's game because they're 90% of the population. Having said that, every play that happens at third, the right-hander is going to end up facing first base. He doesn't have to do a swivel. Like if you have to backhand down the line.
Wait a second. If the right-handed person goes in the hole.
In the hole.
He has to turn his body.
No. If the right-handed person goes in the hole, he's got to turn his body to field it. But he doesn't have to turn his body to throw it.
No, he has his forehand to field the ball in the hole.
Yeah.
But what do they do? A lot of them, they go.
Come to think of it, you're right.
They do.
You're right. If you're a right-hander, because let me think of this, you reach.
There's always
and you have to reset your feet. Yes, you're right.
There's always a disadvantage if you get the ball on one side or the other. It's discrimination, clear, and tell me a left-handed person cannot be a catcher. Bullshit. Of course they can. So what if they throw? The excuse is.
The batter's blocking your arm.
Institutional discrimination is that, the right-handed batter. But wait, do right-handed batters, they can't throw out a runner when there's a left-handed batter to the plate? They just let them steal? No.
Next Friday, I want you to study a statistic. How many left-handers a catcher throws out as opposed to how many, a left-handed...
How many they throw out when a left-handed batter is batting?
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. That solves that.
Can you do it? You love that shit.
I don't know. God, somebody must have done that. Someone.
You're going
to
do it.
Start paying attention to it. Okay, I'm going to start watching.
Let's do some real baseball analysis because fuck you. We are awesome athletes.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. And in basketball, nobody's used to you going left, so instantaneously you get a couple of layups.
I know when no one knows you're left-handed at the beginning of the game. Yes. Know it well.
So you're good for five.
You know what's funny, though? I really don't think that they study that. I don't think there's numbers on what a right-handed catcher does with left-handed hitters up versus right-handed hitters up because I've never seen information.
I'm already fucked up about that third baseman when he's going into the hole. He does have to reset his feet.
Sure he does.
I never thought about it. If you're a lefty and you got to backhand it, you don't have to reset your feet.
Well, what about a shortstop when he's going up the middle for the ball and he has to either spin around? Or he has to completely reset and throw like...
It's good stuff, dude. This is good radio. This is good stuff.
It's institutional discrimination. It's bullshit.
It's fucking...
Why? Does anyone say anything about a right-handed person playing first base? No. It's never even discussed. Ah, yeah, whatever. It's an advantage to be left-handed, but no, but they don't insist on a left-handed person playing first base because, of course, there are good right-handed fielders who could do it. Just like there's good left-handed fielders who could be good third basemen. That's fucking bullshit.
I think as a right fielder, you need to be a left-hander.
As a right fielder?
Yeah. Because the longest throw on the field is from right field to third
base.
And you do not want to have to pivot your feet.
But you see right-handed right fielders all
the
time.
Fucking time, and they're clods. You need a speedy dude with a left hand playing right. You really do.
But, you know, if you put a guy like Cespedes in right
field.
Can
you give me some love on that lefty?
Yeah.
Yeah. You need a lefty with a big arm and wheels. And it's always they always put the clod hopper over there.
Well, the clods are usually in left field. That's really the hide a guy in left field or hide a guy in first base.
But I would never hide a guy in left field because that's where the fucking action in the outfield is.
Well, in softball, I agree with you
100%. No, in baseball because everybody's trying to pull the goddamn ball.
But it's that shorter throw to the plate.
Yeah, but having said that, you better get there and have an arm.
You got the short throw to third base, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have the very short throw to third base.
Yeah, but you got to have a laser. I think you got to be able to work left.
Well, any outfielder should have an arm. Period.
Yeah,
but you know that is why is there no statistical data on catchers throwing people out when there's because you never hear an announcer say this. Well, there's a left-hander up at the plate, so obviously this is an easy time to steal.
2-0,
and that's exactly why left-handers cannot be.
He can't see the leadoff because the left-handed batter is blocking his view.
Precisely.
Thank you.
It's an obvious steal.
I'm Harry Carey.
This runner is very slow. He'll get there easily because who could possibly throw a runner out with a batter in his way?
You're out of there, sailor. going back to that scoop,
Charlie.
Baby.
Ooh. Oh, your scoop. Yeah, man, that's good. Where's that picture? Is that in a publication or something?
Yeah, that's called CharlieTheTwitter.com. It's there forever.
That publication. Lovely, lovely. Who took the picture?
A beautiful lady who loves people that work for the people. Just a lady there just taking pictures.
Yeah.
Oh, there's like four of them. It's the whole thing. But I didn't want to post that and be a douche.
Very funny. Very funny.
You want to know what the headline is?
What?
You're out, copper. You're looking at it?
That's a lovely scoop, man.
Let me take a look at it. Yeah, now, Dick, so...
My legs hurt watching.
So what's happening here is... You see how the glove's turned up? It looks like I just stretched, but... That's the divot. It was a backhander.
That's where the ball hit?
So it's a split in the
back... Oh, so you're lifting your glove up like...
It's a split in the backhander, and it's in close. But I had to because it's a bounce. You know, you don't want to be Miguel Cabrera just standing...
And without a first baseman glove, too.
Yeah, but you see, in softball, you just want a big, gigantic glove. Anything to, I look at softball like a hockey goalie. Like I'm going for everything, and if I misjudge it, I don't put my glove open. What I do is I turn my glove on the backhand like a blocker, and I keep it in front of me.
Yeah, and throw the guy out.
And I just knock it down. I'm not going to give you the second base. You know, I'm going for the ball, but. I'm not going for, like, out here. I'm not going for the scoop on a backhand as an outfielder. I'm going to block it and pick it up. And then
strategy is appreciated.
Yeah, I love that game.
Can you throw people out?
Oh, fuck, dude. I was throwing from here.
Oh, you had some outfield assists, did you?
No, I wasn't playing outfield, but I'm a natural outfielder. I can still get a 250 in the air without a bounce.
Ooh. Well... On that note...
You love baseball?
Oh, I love them. Are you kidding me?
I love baseball. Go Tigers. I love it. Come on, man. I'm going to say this.
Hey, they got a big game tonight.
Yeah.
We got to go, man.
My wife's there. I've been dogging them all year, but I want to thank the Detroit Tigers. Regardless of what happens, you gave us an interesting year.
It's been a great race, man. Yeah, it's not over.
It's been exactly. It's been a great race to keep me interested.
It's September 9th, and they're still in it.
Let me give Mike Ilitch his credit. You put a pretty good squad together. The bullpen's a little bit, I'm not going to dog the guys. They got their streaky.
I'll dog them.
Okay.
I'm very unhappy with the bullpen.
I'm just trying to make this a positive Friday, bro. You know, okay. I didn't really step in dog shit. I didn't really fall down your stairs. I really do love you. This is fun. Thanks for having me on. And I love being alive. Fuck it. And I think these beers are working.
Yes, the beers are working. They're definitely working. They're really working.
And remember your first responders. And I don't want to say happy September 11th, but a memorable one. And remember who we all are together.
I love the first responders holiday idea. I think it's a great idea.
Let's start it.
Those motherfuckers.
Let's start it.
How do they do it? And the EMS, the EMT guys, they're incredible too. I mean, to think of the incredible debacles, the scenes they come into and the way they take care of people without.
And what you don't see?
Being nervous.
It's incredibly dreary.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
You've seen the memorial, haven't you, for first responders out in Hines Park? Just so you know, Charlie, they got one up there if you didn't know about it already.
Mm.
It's Jay knows about this stuff. You should talk to Jay, man.
Yeah. But they've got a memorial, at least, for him out there in Hines Park, if you didn't know about it. It's out in Plymouth, Livonia area.
God bless y'all. Thank
Charlie,
you.
You're late for whatever it was at 7:30.
That's okay, man. It's okay. Fashionable.
Cool. All right. And we'll catch you Sunday night.
Something funny to go out. Come on.
Following the Lions game against Indianapolis.
You know who I got favored in that one?
You have Indianapolis favored in that one.
Trump.
See ya.
Give me something cool to go out on, Jay.
What do you want? Oh, some music?
Yeah, something modern and fresh.
Oh, my God.
Oh, okay. How about some Nirvana?
Name a song.
Nirvana?
How about Lithium? How about some Lithium?
Did I ever tell you about when I married my wife?
No.
The Beastie Boys were on Sub Pop. Not Beastie Boys, Big Chief, a local Detroit band.
Mm-hmm.
They were touring with the Beastie Boys. We went out to Seattle, loped with my wife, went back to the house where everybody's hanging out with their chicks. The only place to sleep was in a closet. Wasn't very good.
Sounds like the NoFX book.
Look for the neighbor's yard, like any place to camp out, you know, consummate my marriage and shit. And we slept in the neighbor's yard. They had a mushroom patch. After I fucked my wife, I was like, wow, look at this. It's full of mushrooms. It wasn't full of mushrooms.
Sure you mean for all this to go on the podcast?
It wasn't mushrooms.
Are you aware the microphones are still on?
It was dog shit.
Oh!
I looked at my wife. We lifted up the blanket we had. It's dog shit all over. I said, baby, I promise you it's only up from here.
Rib for her pleasure. All the dog shit bumps.
There we go.
What the hell is this music?
Big Chief. All downhill.
Oh, yeah.
All downhill from here, Charlie.
There you go, Phil. There you go, Barry.
See you Sunday night.